whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And Baldy, baby, he's back. He's back. He's back as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. And on the line, of course, is Odyssey Pro Football Insider Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, at Baldy NFL on Twitter. And hopefully he's not trying to do the splits again like he was Friday night with Jason Kelce and some jeans. Pretty impressive, Baldy. Pretty impressive stuff. Good morning to you. Happy New Year.
And
you know, if you had to sum up the 49ers season in 2024, how would you sum that up, Baldy?
Ugly. An ugly season from the start. I mean, you lose 7 of the last 8 games or something like that. It was just an ugly finish and a rough start. And so it was a forgettable year. I mean, if you had to like sum it up, it's a forgettable year. You can't really just honestly forget it. You can't just say it was an aberration. It was a Super Bowl hangover. That's too easy. You got to painfully look at the weaknesses on the team and address them and go, can we afford to bring back the same team next year or the remnants or the structure of the same team next year? Because we just saw 3 teams passing by this year. You know, one with a new coach, one with a team that you just lost to on Sunday, and you're like, is the Arizona Cardinals roster really better than the 49ers roster? You can say, okay, put a healthy Brock Purdy in there, and maybe it's different, but still, they beat him twice this year. So you got to really look at this roster and look at the coaching staff and really look at everything and go, all right, is it just the injuries or in the offseason that was just mired in holdouts and whatnot? Or is there deeper problems to the team right now?
Well, if you were to like write down a list of the biggest issues on the team right now, where does it start? Is it coaching? Is it personnel? Is it quarterback play? Like, where would you start as the biggest issue on the team right now?
I think they're very predictable on defense. I think the predictability of what they do defensively is easy to game plan for. I mean, Arizona did, all they did is go up and down the field, and most of them were starters out there. So I think predictability on defense is clear to me. But part of that might be they're not very talented on defense either. They don't take the ball away. They don't affect the quarterback. But they don't do anything to do that knowing that they have limitations. So I would say that's it. I think they lack team speed. I mean, you're watching Greg Dortch catch a tunnel screen. And either the guys just weren't – the effort looked questionable to me, all right? I ain't going to call anybody out saying they're quitting or whatever. But the effort was questionable. You know, I mean, if you're sitting in a film room with your team, you're going, this isn't good enough. Like, you're trashing everybody. So that's that. I think team speed is, and, you know, they lack playmakers on defense right now.
Well, can we get to the highest paid player on that defense, Nick Bosa? How do you rate his season?
Well, I mean, he was disappointing. But he just, he doesn't, I mean, he still is a force. He's not Micah Parsons. He's not T.J. Watt right now. He's not getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands. He's not batting balls down. He's not, I don't know. I feel like he's going up against backup tackles on Sunday, and I didn't see him destroy him. Wow. You know, like, that's Nick Bosa. He's supposed to destroy those backup tackles. Great. Not Paris Johnson out there. You know, I think he still plays the game the right way, but I don't know if he's not as fast twitch as he used to be. It looks like it's just clearly just a pure power game right now. And if it's not working, then he's not getting it.
And in the Y9 ball days, we're talking to Brian Baldinger as we do every Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning. If they're going to stick with the Y9 system, I don't think it benefits Nick Bosa. As you just mentioned, I don't see a speed rusher there. I see a power rusher. And he's lined up so far out wide that it affects him in a run and pass game. You know, when you talk about the predictability in the defense, and we've been discussing this morning, I didn't see nothing from Nick Sorensen either. So if they did move off from him, what if they, and I'm just going to throw a hypothetical. The Niners say, hey, Lou Anarumo from Cincinnati, who just got fired, who I think is a good defensive coordinator, if the Niners decided to go that direction and flip their scheme and move away from the Y9, What would Lou Anarumo bring to the table?
Well, I mean, if you look at, say, go back 3 years ago when Cincinnati beat Kansas City in Kansas City and went to a Super Bowl, and you watch what he did to Patrick Mahomes and how he changed up on second downs and third downs, changed his front, mixed, moved people around. Is this a three-man front? Where are they blitzing from? I think he's much more creative than anything I saw in San Francisco over the last couple of years.
Wow.
I think I am a big Lou Anarumo fan. I think he has a very sharp mind. I think he was, I remember talking to him. He lives literally right down the street from me in Fort Lauderdale. He's got a house there. But I remember talking to him this year. I mean, at one point in the Kansas City game that they lost at the end in Kansas City, he had two healthy defensive tackles, like, playing. Two. Like, they were so thin up front. And some of those guys weren't very good players. So, like, he was doing the best he could with what he had. But I think that would be an upgrade. I don't think he's going to be unemployed long. Like, I think there's a team on the East Coast that is going to make a switch pretty soon and reach out to him.
What do you do with Dre Greenlaw? We see when he played the two quarters, and he was outstanding, but he played two quarters this year, you know? And I feel like as great as the defensive line needs to be upgraded, like, there's no question, no one argues that. I feel like linebacker is a huge gaping hole for this team as well. What do you do with Greenlaw?
Well, I think anybody that tears their Achilles, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, those are the people we know. I feel like it's more than a year of recovery. I think it takes, you know, I remember when I tore my ACL, and I'm not comparing my injury to Dre's, but they said, you know, one of the things that the recovery team did for me, they said, look, it's not going to feel like the old knee. It's going to be a new knee. It's going to be just as good. It's just going to feel different. And you have to get used to the difference. And I feel like that's the case with Achilles. Like, you can get back on the field in a year and play like Dre did, but you're not going to feel like you did prior to the injury in the Super Bowl. So I feel like you have to give him the off season and just see if things, if the suddenness and the quickness and the speed and all that stuff comes back. So I feel like he needs this off season.
Brian Baldinger, presented by our proud partner, Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Go to State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. And Baldy will be on every Tuesday throughout the playoffs and the Tuesday after the Super Bowl here. Some breaking news in Tennessee. Old friend Rand Carthon, who was the 49ers organization, has been fired by the Titans after 2 years. So he is now unemployed as teams look to reshape their front office, their coaching staffs, or whatnot. As we shift over to the Niners offense, I think some positives. Ricky Pearsall showed some flashes over the last couple weeks. That's a good thing. Jacob Cowie got better. Dominic Pudi, you know you got yourself a right guard. But what is, if you're looking at the Niners offense, Baldy, you're sitting in the room and you're looking at the offseason coming up and you're saying, how can I make this offense better? How can I upgrade it? How are you upgrading this offense, Baldy? What was the first thing you're going to do?
Well, there's going to be a free agent guard available for Kansas City, Trey Smith. I mean, I'd go get Trey Smith. Now, you have to pay for him, but I'd figure out a way to get Trey Smith. Just because he's such an enforcer. He's got a howitzer for a right hand. When he punches you, you feel like you can't breathe. Like, the guy finishes every block. You just need an alpha male on your offensive line. I feel like they need that. Trey Smith is that guy. So, I mean, that's just a dream. Now, the 49ers can't afford Trey Smith, but he's going to be the highest paid guard in football. The guy's played practically every snap for four straight years in a row. He's I know the kid well. Like, that kid is just wired the right way. But you got to make a decision on Trent. You know, do you want to bring Trent back? I mean, obviously he's still a great player, but the injuries do get to you. The age does get to you. You know, the off season was different, so you had to play himself into shape. But you got to, you know, I mean, he's going to be 38 or whatever he's going to be. You have to decide, do we go out and start building with a new left tackle? Other teams do it. So are the 49ers in that? Because I think it always starts up front. Now, you know, to have three good running backs all get hurt, all go down. I mean, you can't figure like that's going to happen. But you have to wonder, is Christian McCaffrey, can he regain what we saw a year ago or the year before? Can he become that guy, because everybody in that draft from 2017, the only guy that's still going is Aaron Jones. And he's been in and out of the lineup a number of times in Green Bay. But he's the only guy from that draft that's still rolling. He was the fifth-round pick.
If you were sitting down with Brock Purdy and you guys were going over the film from this year, what are the strengths and what are the weaknesses? What are the things that you guys are talking about? Like, in contrast to maybe the year he had last year.
Well, I think he still reads defenses exceptionally well. I think he knows how to go through progressions. And he's very, very smart about where to go with the ball. You know, the question that is always going to come up, and you can't erase Mr. Irrelevant, because there's a reason why he was Mr. Irrelevant. You know, I'm watching, say, for example, Michael Penix Jr. the other day. And you watch him rifle a football. Like, it's a laser show. Like, Brock can't throw it like that. Now, he can still be very accurate. He can throw it with touch. And all those things are valid. But he's not going to have a Michael Penix arm. So you have to say, okay, can you live with the limitations? Yes, you can, for sure. They did for 3 years. But I do think that there is there's a part of the offense that, and it's easy on Mondays, you're sitting in the film room, when to be patient on a route, and it's going to open up, and when to move to the next. I don't know how to answer the question, Joe. Like, I don't know how to tell a quarterback, boy, if you just wait an extra tick here, Ayuk's coming open. Kittle's the guy. And so how your eyes go from one step to the next I think that could be improved. Just, and I don't know how to define that other than that.
What do you make of the second half, fourth quarter struggles for Brock Purdy?
Well, I mean, I think some of those fourth quarter struggles, we got to come back and win. You know, I got to make these plays. And sometimes you try to do too much or you try to put too much emphasis on it, you know. But at the same time, there's got to be urgency. Yep. So you have to, it's a balance between being urgent, knowing that you've got to, you know, finish this drive to win the game. You know, the Arizona game, you know, the first Arizona game, there's a chance to go win that game. That just comes to my mind right now, you know, and there's an interception thrown or whatever. So, you know, knowing, you know, and that part of that is being everybody in cahoots, everybody in cahoots, from the protection to the route running and the play call and it all coming together like that. Because, you know, some teams, you watch in a 2-minute drill, and look, Josh Dobbs had a good one right before the half last week. But there's some teams you go, you know, we could say Mahomes all the time, but there's some guys, you know, they get the ball with 59 seconds to go and they got to go 70 yards. You know they're going. You know they're going to finish it. And, like, the game's going to be over.
Is there anybody the Niners could bring in as a backup that maybe not necessarily replaces Brock Purdy, but maybe pushes him or could be a better backup? Because Brandon Allen, Josh Dobbs are guys, and I think they're going to move on here. Like, we could just rat-a-tat-tat some names. Like, Cooper Russ is going to be a restricted free agent. Justin Fields, what if he leaves Pittsburgh? What do you think about him, Baldy? Guys like that. Is there anybody out there that could really push Brock Purdy and thrive in a Shanahan system?
I don't know. Could Kirk Cousins push him? I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, Shanahan obviously was there when they drafted him in Washington, wanted him in San Francisco. He was awful. If they had made the switch earlier, Atlanta probably wins that division. The way they were playing, they were too patient. And so you say to yourself, is that Achilles? Is that a slump? Can he get back to what he was? I don't know. I don't know, you know, the exact answer to that.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, Justin Fields is intriguing. I don't think he could push him because I don't think he can throw as accurately as Brock, and I don't think he can make the decisions. But he's going to make the splash plays that maybe Brock can't make, whether it's sensational runs, or, you know, like you think about, remember that game that they opened up with against Chicago in the rain 3 years ago?
Yep,
and he made that throw across the field in the rain.
Like, it's
the only throw he made basically all day, but it was enough to beat the Niners that day. Like, he has that ability, you know, and so that he can wow you, but, you know, wowing you isn't going to win divisions and win playoff games. It's just going to do that to you.
Is Deebo Samuel still a really good football player?
the right situations, he is. He almost looks like he's more of a running back now than a receiver. Like, he gets a head of steam going and he hits the hole and you're like, that looks good. That looks special. But, between the drops and the inability to separate, he doesn't look like an elite player from that standpoint. But he is a playmaker. And so whether it's a returner, as a change of pace running back, all the gadget gimmick plays that you can run on fly sweeps and things like that, there's a place for it. But if you're saying, okay, we're in a 3-by-1 set and here's man coverage, go beat this second corner, I don't know if that's the guy that can do that.
What happened to his route ready, Baldy? Because we didn't really discuss this. It just seems like since the Super Bowl against Kansas City, with Spags said, I'm playing man defense, I'm going to blitz 6, let's go. And from that point on, we've kind of hyper-focused on Debo and the lack of route running. Has it always been like this with Debo Samuel? What has happened? It's fascinating that all of a sudden he gets one target against Detroit on Monday Night Football. They're going to pierce all of Jennings, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, they're really phasing Debo out in the pass game. What happened to him?
I don't know. Do you just naturally, over a period of time, slow down? Yeah. Do you lose a step? I mean, it's imperceptible sometimes, but can you be, too thick, too much like a running back to play receiver? I mean, you got to have some twitch and suddenness to you to be these electric playmakers at receiver. You watch Justin Jefferson or Jamar play, and they're just elite, with their body control. You watch Garrett Wilson go up and catch these balls. You watch these receivers that I mentioned, they're all younger, but you watch their body control with the ball in the air and the acrobatic moves that they can make. You don't see that from Debo.
They fired the special teams coordinator. They had the 8th most penalties.
They could have done that week 2.
I know.
They could have done that early this year.
They had multiple fake punts, executed on them. One this last weekend. A zillion missed kicks. Obviously, Jake Moody's an issue, but they're also not kicking the ball into the end zone, right? And so, on kickoffs, they're low on that. They don't kick long field goals. Their longest this year was a 53-yarder. 31 other guys kick longer kicks than that. Just the special teams unit as a whole. How do you improve that? It's not just the kicker. There's a variety of problems here. And they've spent money on a George Odom who got hurt, but they have specific specialists. How do they fix this thing?
Well, I always think at every position, coaching is the difference. I mean, if you look at, Kansas City's had the same special teams coach now since Andy Reid got there. And that's never an issue. They have the best kicker in Butker. But even when Butker got hurt, they didn't skip a beat. You never see them give up a play in the special teams to get themselves beat. Kicking coaches, special team coaches, are just that. They're special. There's a bunch of them, and 32 of them, and they all got assistants. But some of them are better than others. And so coaching matters, and how you coach up certain plays and preparation. Everybody is in a special teams meeting. Every single player at some point, whether it's field goal protection, field goal block, whether it's punt safe, every single player is in a special teams meeting. Do they get through to everybody? Because sometimes you just, and then some just have this eye. Okay, this is their coverage unit. This is the weakness. This is what we can hit. Let's work on this week. Let's pull this out at this time. Some are just better than others right now.
But Baldy, you brought up coaching, so we haven't asked about Shanahan. Obviously, a down year for him. Second losing season in the last 6 years. First 2 years, obviously, coming to an expansion team. I'm not going to hold that against him. But if you had to talk to Shanahan and he said, hey, Baldy, how do I reinvent myself? How do I come back sharper? How do I come up with some newness here? How do I become less predictable offensively? What would you tell Shanahan? How could he be better in 2025?
Well, I don't think there's anything new that's been invented under the sun. I think everything is sort of regurgitated in some ways. But I do think, we're going to see 2 major college football games coming up, this week. And so, I remember Steve Spagnuolo was out of football for a year, and he came here every Monday to NFL Films. He never studied, and he knew he was getting back in. Andy Reid, you know, ended up let Bob Sutton go. He brought Spags in to be defense coordinator. He's the single best defense coordinator in football. And I remember that year, all he did was study the college game. And he just wanted to see the speed in the game, the formations, a lot of things that the college game is good at that always creeps to the NFL game. That's like the think tank. But I feel like, you know, because if you're in a, you know, a spread formation every play, like say in the Big 12, right. I mean, Texas to me is still a Big 12 team. But, you know, if you're in a spread formation every play, like how are you affecting the quarterback? And I feel like those kind of things you can learn. So if I was saying to Kyle, like, don't be afraid to go learn from somebody else. You know, I mean, Nick Saban always did that. I feel like there is another step to this evolution of the game that can be learned, that can be added to your repertoire of your base things. Like, everybody recognizes that it's a good offense, but can it be tweaked to a point where it can be better? Like, Liam Cohen went to Tampa this year. They had the 32nd ranked rushing offense in football 2 years in a row. They couldn't get 4 yards of carry to save their life. They're the fourth ranked rushing football team in the league. And if you can say, okay, it's an addition of a new center, definitely. It is Bucky Irving, okay. But when I watch the run game, it looks different than other teams right now. The way that they add bodies from one side to the other, whether it's the power game, counter Trey, how they add fit their tight ends into it. Not that Kyle doesn't do that. He does. But I feel like Liam Cohen has injected something new to Tampa, and it's one of the reasons why they won the division for the fourth year in a row and why now they're a really balanced offense for the first time. I mean, Brady didn't have that when they won a Super Bowl. So I feel like if I was Kyle, you know, I mean, it's not ego. Like, football is about learning. It's about adjusting. It's about adding to your repertoire. That's what I would tell them to do.
Wow. Very good stuff, Baldy. Very good stuff. You calling any playoff games this weekend?
I'm doing the Hula Bowl on Saturday.
Hula Bowl.
Down in Orlando.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right,
right. I'm going to go find you guys. I'm going to go find you some seventh-round draft picks.
Hey, no.
I'm going to go find you a Dominic Pooney.
No, all no. Right? Baldy, I need more than seven-round picks. I need that first-round pick, number 11 overall. I need some big boys, man. I need a second. I need these two-thirds. I need everybody, Baldy. We need D-linemen. We need offensive linemen. We need speed, for crying out loud, out here in San Francisco.
Real quick, to that point, Bonte, like, I know Minnesota didn't play well the other night, but the defense played well.
Yep.
They got two interceptions.
Yep. Almost had a pick six.
Yeah, Van Ginkel.
Almost had a pick six.
Almost had a pick six. And that was going to be third.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. Like, what Brian Flores is doing on defense is what, honestly, is what, like, the great coaches have done on offense, the West Coast offense, all these different, like what Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan are doing. Like, this. What he's doing on defense, first of all, their entire defensive line is brand new. Jonathan Grenard, Dallas Turner, Andrew Van Ginkel, like Pat Jones. They brought in seven new defensive linemen, and they brought in a brand new scheme. Like, that scheme, if I was Kyle Shanahan, you ask me, I would go study Brian Flores.
Ooh, I like that.
That scheme is going to take over the NFL. It is. You're going to put up seven on the defensive line. Who's coming? Who's dropping? What zones are you taking away? How are you getting a free hitter to the quarterback? That's the new way. And it was a problem for Detroit the other day. It's going to be a problem for the Rams. It's a problem. But to Brian's credit, he has evolved this thing. And now he's got the right. And that, to me, when I say San Francisco is predictable, I compare it to what Flores is doing in Minnesota.
That's a good point. I next week, I want to ask you about the college game, because I seen Ohio State do a little bit of that in the Rose Bowl. Oregon had no idea what was coming. And
you take a guy like Wink Martindale at Michigan and beat Ohio State with them, right? I mean, that's Wink.
Does Wink want to come back to the NFL? Does Wink want to come back to the NFL at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wants to come back.
Damn.
They should make the phone call. That guy, the Giants are, I don't know how they kept what they kept. They were second in the league last year in takeaways. they executed half that amount this year. Like, if you ask me, would you rather lead the league in takeaways or defense? I like to lead the league in takeaways.
Wow. Well said, Baldy. Well said. We could continue this conversation for another 30 minutes, but we got to run, man. Have fun at the Hula Bowl. We'll talk next week. Enjoy the playoffs, Baldy.
Okay, guys.
Oh, real quick. Baldy. I'm sorry, guys. Predictions this week. Super Bowl prediction. We're not going to hold you to it, but playoffs are coming. We got to get a prediction.
I think Philadelphia, Kansas City.
Not bad at that.
I think Philadelphia goes 4-0 starting on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Baldy, we'll talk next Tuesday. Right. Good stuff, brother.